Good morning, everyone. So we're going to start off with a game this morning. So a picture is going to come up on the screen, but it's only going to be a small section of the picture. And you've got to try and guess who the famous sports person is from the small bit of the picture. And then we're going to reveal another bit of the picture. So once you think you've guessed who it is, raise your hand. So we're going to get the first picture up now. Any guesses so far? Quite difficult. Right, let's get the next picture up then. Oh, tennis racket. Anyone convinced they know who it is? Any hands? Oh, keep your hand up, I think. Oh, we've got a couple of hands. Let's reveal the next picture. Oh, we've definitely got a few hands going up. Tell me, who do you think it is then? Oh, let's have a look. Let's see the next picture. Don't call out. Put your hands up if you think. Yeah, what do you think? Oh, right. Well, let's reveal the rest of the picture and have a look. It is Djokovic. Well done. So like with this picture, you can see it's a bit like a puzzle, isn't it? As we start putting the bits of the picture together, we can start seeing the bigger picture and see who the puzzle is of. In this case, Novak Djokovic. And what we've heard of Jesus so far this week, it's a bit like a puzzle. We've heard the different stories of him, someone who is worth following, someone who has power over disease, and as we heard from Willow last night, someone who has power over sin. And today's passage is just another piece of that puzzle to help us see who Jesus is and answer that question that he asks of us all, who do you say I am? I don't know who you think Jesus is. Maybe a good teacher, a historical figure, or maybe you're just not sure. But can I urge you this week to start slotting those pieces of the puzzle together and try to figure out who Jesus is? Come with me then today as we dig into this piece of puzzle in Mark chapter 4. So keep your Mark Gospel open on page 17. So we're going to look, set the scene for you a bit. So Jesus, he's been teaching to the crowds, and the crowds have been flocking around him, so much so that it's actually hard for him to preach where he is. So he stands in a boat in the Sea of Galilee, and he preaches from the boat while the crowds all stand on the shore. So I've got a picture of what one of these boats would have looked like. This is a fisherman's boat, about 8.2 metres long, 2.3 metres wide, and 1.3 metres high. Nothing like the fishermen boats of today. So the disciples and Jesus, so Jesus has been teaching all day. He's had a really busy day of teaching, and he says to his disciples, let us go to the other side. So they get in their boat and they go onto the Sea of Galilee. And they're having a lovely, pleasant evening in their boat when all of a sudden a storm strikes. Look down at verse 37 with me. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. So squall, that's not a word that I normally use in my vocabulary. I don't know about you. It just means hurricane. And I did my research, and actually it's very normal for storms to happen on the Sea of Galilee. It's below sea level, it's surrounded by hills, the wind can gush onto the waters. Storms, very common. But I don't know about you, I've never been in a storm myself on the waters. But why don't we try and imagine it now? It would be dark when the storm was happening. So everyone shut your eyes, picture this darkness. And then there would have been a furious squall coming up. It would have been so noisy. And then water would have started breaking over the boat, and the boat would be rocking side to side. Great. Everyone, open your eyes. Open your eyes, stop there. This is one crazy storm, right? There's an attack on all of our senses. The boat's rocking from side to side. It's noisy. They're getting wet. And those in the boat, they would have been almost drowning. Surely they would die. How do you think you'd feel in that moment on that boat? And we see the disciples' response, well, it's to panic. And as we heard yesterday from Lisa, these disciples, some of them would have been experienced fishermen. They would have been used to the water and to the storms happening. This surely must have been a bad storm for them to be scared. But these experienced fishermen, well, they don't know what to do. So they turn to Jesus. But where is he? Well, look down at verse 38 with me. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Jesus is totally out of it. He's seemingly unaware of what is going around him. Do you have one of those friends? Maybe you're on the bus back from a game, or you're at a sleepover, and they just fall asleep, and whatever you do, they can't wake up. Like, you're so noisy, but they just sleep through it all. Here's a picture on the screen behind you. This is me, age 14, at a sleepover, seemingly unaware of what's going around me. My friends thought it'd be funny to graffiti on my face. And likewise, Jesus, also seemingly unaware, but he's exhausted from teaching all day. He's just having a nap on a cushion. He's just so normal. And he's human like the rest of us. But the disciples, they wake up Jesus in the panicked manner. And they say to Jesus, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Can't you see we are drowning here? We are going to die. Don't you care?" And isn't this the same response that we have to God at times? Maybe if you have an injury early on in the season, or we're on the bench again for our Saturday game. Or maybe we have a family member who is seriously ill. We all ask God that question, "Don't you care?" And the humanity of Jesus, well, it shows he knows what it feels like and he understands what we are going through. He can relate to the things happening in your life because he is human. But is Jesus someone who can do any good in the normal problems of life? Well, let's see what happens next. In the midst of the terrifying storm, we see Jesus is in complete control. Look at verse 39. Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind. So rebuke, it just means like a scolded, sharp expression of disapproval. And Jesus then, look back at verse 39, he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. The wind died down and it was completely calm. Silence. Just three words that Jesus said, "Quiet, be still." And the wind and the waves obeyed him. Wow, this man has power over nature. And what do you think is going through the disciples' head? Like, who does this man think he is speaking to the sea? Like, you can't shout at the sea and tell it what to do. That's ridiculous. That would never work for any normal human being. We all know how annoying the weather can be, and especially when it affects sport. Think back to the Cricket World Cup just a few months ago. Here's a Twitter post of another game being cancelled because of the weather. And I bet there were frustrated fans and players that day, pleading with the grey clouds in the sky to disappear so they could continue watching and playing their favourite sport. But pleading with the sky won't make a difference. Like, humans can't control the weather. Humans have no power over nature. But Jesus here, he just calmed a storm. He must be a unique human being. But surely the only person who can calm a storm is the one who created the world, right? And if God is the one who is creator, then that tells us that Jesus must be God. Jesus can't be part of creation if he is able to speak with authority over it. Now, how did the disciples respond to this man calming a raging storm? Well, look at verse 40. Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Well, it should have been obvious from what the disciples have already seen of Jesus that they would be safe in the storm. They've been with the disciples for a while now. They've seen his worth following, that he has power over disease and sin. Yet they still don't know what he is capable of. They haven't really put those pieces of the puzzle together to see the bigger picture. Why should they fear a deathly storm when the one who has authority over it is present? And this faith here that Jesus is talking about, it means trust. Basically, have you seen those maybe videos on YouTube where you've done it with a friend? Trust, it's like a trust fall. So one person puts out their arms and the other person says trust, and they fall back into them, expecting that person to catch them. Sometimes there's those funny fail videos of them on YouTube. But in this case, the person is catching is Jesus. And the trust here means that actually, these disciples should have trusted Jesus. They should have been able to fully depend on him. And see how surprising the disciples' response is now that the storm is over. Look at verse 41. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They're even more afraid now than when the storm was happening. They're literally trembling because they were so afraid of Jesus and his power. And let me ask you, how do you personally respond to this man? This man who is fully human, yet fully God, who is able to calm a raging storm in just 3 words. Do you respond with fear, like the disciples? Are you scared of this man and his authority and power? Or do you have faith in him? Are you trusting in him and throwing yourself independent on him, onto him? Well, the passage shows us that he is human, but also God. Jesus is worth praying to and worth trusting in because his humanity, which shows us that he cares about us and that he understands our situation. And the fact that he is God, which shows that he can do something about it because he is so powerful. And as I asked at the beginning, who do you think Jesus is? Well, maybe you're not sure. And if that's the case, then pray to God, pray to him that he would show you who Jesus is, that you would start to see the bigger picture as you slot those pieces of the jigsaw together. And if you are trusting in him, well, head to your first spot this morning, feeling refreshed and thrilled, knowing who you belong to. This man who is in charge of all creation, and you belong to him. And go share that with others. Go share his identity with others so that more may come to know him and have faith in him. I'm going to pray now before we head to Firstborn. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to this earth fully human, that you understand and care for us. But we thank you even more that you are God, that you have power over nature, and therefore we can be assured that you are in complete control. Help us not to fear you, but to have faith in you in every situation. In your name we pray. Amen.